Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to another edition of The Roman Show with your host, Rodolfo Roman. Now, Mikey Ruckus, rain down hellfire and brimstone!
I consider the beat, I consider the bounce. He considers the people when he considers the crowd. Ain't nothing to it because we all go through it. It's the start of The Roman Show, let's go through it. Come on, we pop shots as you lick in your chops. Just straight to the top, the moment that the solar will drop.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it on lock and tied in the knot. We got the industry crossover, like it or not.
Keep rocking.
You haven't been all, you haven't been heard. From Miami, up to Detroit, 3 1/3. East Coast, West Coast, yeah, we throwing the curve. With a red carpet, news break, shocking the world. Come on, ride, come and join The Roman Show. Coming back to attack the world.
To the Roman Show on this May 1st is May Day. Many in different countries are actually out in the streets right now. Different parts of the world are celebrating this May Day. We don't have any more protests here anymore than United States, Andrea. I think we still do, don't we?
Protests, you said?
Yeah, it's May Day. It's May 1st. Yeah, the worker around the world.
I never understood why May Day is so friggin' important to begin with.
Because it's the right to the worker around the world. It's just not in the United States. You know, here we have Labor Day, and we celebrate that later down the year. Around the world, it's May Day, May 1st. I don't write the history books, man. It's not me. But one thing that is set in stone is what happened over the weekend at UFC 159. John Jones defeating Chael Sonnen and keeping his light heavyweight title, which is really was not a shocker whatsoever. But the big shock was John Jones' broken foot, which he did not realize until he was getting interviewed by Joe Rogan. And obviously that's going to take him some time to heal. So now, Guillermo, we have your boy Machida and Gustafsson have verbally agreed to fight, and the winner gets John Jones. Obviously, that's going to be some time since Jones needs to heal that toe. I know you were very upset at this pay-per-view. You were not a fan of it because you said that specifically this fight just didn't make any sense. Did it live up to your expectations, or did you just expect exactly what you saw on Saturday?
I told you, this fight was a joke from the very beginning. I saw Jones completely dominating Sonnen and winning the first round. Didn't necessarily expect Jones to make it a point to wrestle him down a ton of times. I figured Sonnen would end up that way, though, like getting grounded and pounded on, but I didn't expect Jones to just jump all over him in the clinch and take him down at ease. I thought maybe Jones would knock him down with something and then ground and pound him up that way, you know, or maybe even submit him somehow and took him down. But I never thought that Jones would just say, I'm going to wrestle Chael Sonnen down and beat him down that way. That's the only thing that surprised me. But he made it look so easy that it made it look like an even bigger blowout than I even imagined.
It did. It sure did. It really made Chael Sonnen just like a bum. He had no power whatsoever to take down Jones. It wasn't the Chael Sonnen that we saw against Anderson Silva whatsoever. I don't know if he was intimidated. I don't know if he was scared. Or I don't know if John Jones is just that darn good. But he was no match to John Jones and Chael Sonnen. Well, he's not retiring because he's calling out Wanderlei Silva. And he's saying that he is going to be staying at light heavyweight. So we haven't seen the last of Chael Sonnen inside the cage, although many were already speculating that he was going to retire after that loss. And Dana White had an officer ready for him to start promoting other fights. But that's not the case, guys. We're still going to get to see Chael Sonnen at another fight. Perhaps one more, depending on the outcome. Well, after the aftermath of UFC 159, one person is no longer on with the UFC, and that's Chuck Congo. And actually, we spoke to Ray Seffel, which you will hear later on the show, World Series of Fighting, and we asked him about Chuck Congo, whose contract expired, and the UFC did not plan to resign him. So Chuck Congo is no longer with the UFC. I mean, this is a guy who had a decent career in the big stage. He's in his late 30s. He might have a couple of more fights, maybe two or three, or who knows, depending on this guy. But Guillermo, this guy, you got to give credit to where credit is due. This guy did something in the UFC that many hadn't done. He has a seven-year run that included 18 fights in the organization. This guy leads with a lot of credibility, Guillermo.
Yeah, absolutely. Chuck Congo is nothing to be ashamed of. You know, he never had the full ground game and submission game, the wrestling game to become a champion in the division, but he does leave as the second winningest heavyweight in UFC history with 11 heavyweight victories and, you know, just behind Frank Mir. And, you know, he could never beat the top-notch guys, but he was able to beat all the guys that were below him for the most part. So, you know, he has nothing to be ashamed of. Even Mark Hunt, who has now turned out to be a top-notch guy in the heavyweight division, after beating Congo. So, you know, he's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, he did the best he could with the tools that he had, and he's 37 now, and maybe he'll take a couple more fights before calling it a day. I would hope that he would just call it a day now, but it doesn't sound like that's what he wants to do.
I don't think so neither. Now, Rampage came out and stated on his Twitter account, because there were some media sources that stated that Congo was cut, but that's not the case. His contract expired. So Rampage tweeted, Quentin Rampage Jackson tweeted, Congo was not cut. He refused a new deal. His old sponsor is full of crap and started a dirty rumor. That is the statement by Rampage, which is actually the case. His contract expired. He was not cut from the UFC. Moving forward, and I know we're shifting gears. We're going back to Jones. So as soon as Jones defeated Chael Sonnen, talks already began. You know, Jones versus Anderson Silva. And that's a dream match. It's, you know, we understood that GSP does not want to face Silva. He wants to perhaps move down to lightweight instead of middleweight. But the fact is that we could be seeing Silva versus Jones. That's what seems the more likely. And MMA is still not legal in New York, but the word is that if it is legal at some point soon, that would be the fight, perhaps headlining at Madison Square Garden, which would be absolutely phenomenal. Do you see this fight realistically happening after maybe Jones gets fights the winner of Gustafsson and Machida?
Yeah, whether the Jones and Silva fight's going to happen, that's a lot to ask, because first of all, Silva's got to get by Weidman. And like I told you, I believe that Weidman has every chance of winning that fight. And I believe that, you know, it's a coin flip. I mean, Weidman is extremely talented and hungry. He's got the exact skill set to beat Anderson. And not only that, in the light heavyweight division, Machida's the number one contender currently. And if he goes on to fight Jones, Silva's always said that he will not get in Machida's way of winning the light heavyweight title because that's his best friend. So if Machida continues to be the number one contender, that'll prevent Silva from going up. And if Machida wins the title, and that'll completely kill the plans as well. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's a lot. I think it's going to be at least 9 months to a year before it's even possible.
Yeah, we'll be right back with more here on the Roman Show after the short break.
Back to the Roman Show, and on the line we have World Series of Fighting President Ray Seffel, who makes a second appearance here on the show. Ray, thank you so very much for taking some time and joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me back.
Thank you, Ray. Now, Ray, let's talk about World Series of Fighting. Obviously, you got a great show coming up June 14th in Vegas, and the show obviously is going to be airing on NBC Sports Network. You got Fitch versus Berkman. That's just a highly anticipated fight between these two guys. It's a rematch. I'm sure a lot of MMA fans are expecting this one. And we had you on the show, and we asked you if Fitch, who was Fitch's first opponent? Surely enough, he said he's the winner of Berkman and was it Simpson, I think he fought in the last
show.
That's
right. That's right.
Surely enough, we got the match. Now, this is not going to be for a title, correct?
That's correct.
No title. So, about this main event, do you think that this is the main event of all the main events so far for World Series of Fighting?
Well, I mean, you know, our first two main events were great. Our first two co-main events were great. So, I mean, the last two cards have been, for us, have been amazing. And this, you know, this definitely it's another notch up again, merely because these two have faced each other before. They're both great fighters. Aaron Simpson, his last two outings has been absolutely amazing. For him to be able to put Josh Berkman, his last two outings have been amazing, and for him to put Aaron Simpson away, the way that he did, really, you know, makes a statement. And you know, John Fitch is an intelligent guy. I'm sure he knows that the Josh Berkman he faced 7-8 years ago is not the Josh Berkman he's going to face come June 14th. Josh Berkman has improved a lot on his game, his stand-up game, his ground game, and what have you. That being said, John Fitch has also proven that he can also hold his own standing. So, it makes it for a really interesting fight. It's a fight, obviously, it's been a long time coming, but it's here, and they're both excited about it, and so are we. Versus the fighting, I'm sure the fans are looking forward to that. You know, that main event, that rematch. It's exciting, really exciting.
No doubt, you know, Berkman finishing off Simpson, who just came from the UFC in such an amazing fashion. No doubt that this is definitely a different fight between these two. Now, I got to ask you about the co-main event, which was scheduled of Tyrone Spunk versus Angel DeAnda. But Tyrone Spunk, from what we heard, and I want to hear from you, because there's some media sources that hasn't been confirmed, but what exactly happened? Is it the visa issues setting this fight back?
That's right. I spoke to Tyrone last week. He called me, after training, I returned his call, and he said he's in Spazi. What he's been told the embassy over there, is that he has to, you know, he's just waiting on his visa to be approved and stamped, I guess. But he doesn't know. They haven't given him a time. He's got to go back for another interview. So at this present time, all we know is what he knows, and that's just waiting when that visa will be issued. That being said, he was also concerned that if this takes any longer, he won't have time to do work a lot on his ground. This is an MMA fight, not a stand-up fight. And so he was, you know, he was hoping that that would be pushed back. And this was a week ago. And so a week later, there's no update whatsoever. Nothing's changed. So we, you know, we've decided that it'd be best to move that fight to the next event.
Do we know who Angel's opponent is going to be, or are you still working on that?
Right now, I don't know if Angel's. I have a feeling from my discussions with Ali last night, I have a feeling that whole fight is being moved to August.
Gotcha. So, what will be the replacement for the co-main event?
The co-main event, you know, right now it's there's a toss-up of a couple of our fights already that's on the card, so it's not 100% confirmed yet. So I don't want to, you know, because even we haven't spoken to the guys yet, also. So I want to be able to, you know, I want to reach out to them first before we actually announce them.
Gotcha. So you're still waiting as far as the change then, because I mean
right,
the whole fight
right.
card is stacked. It is stacked. Now I gotta ask you.
Right.
I'm sure you heard already that Czech Congo is no longer with the UFC. Any chance that the World Series of Fighting will pick him up?
It's funny you ask that because I just found out like a couple of hours ago.
Wow.
And yeah, and you know, again, I haven't even taking any thought to it. I had no idea that he was cut from UFC, so I have no idea. I have, you know, obviously it's one of these things where I've got to sit down with the team and discuss that and see, you know, where we go with that or if we even look at that. So the answer to your question is no, I didn't know until 2 hours ago, and yes, I will be discussing it with the team.
Would he be a good fit for your company?
That's a good question. Again, like I said, you know, until I sit down with the rest of the team and see, you know, throw some thoughts around and see if he is a good fit for us. I think the toughest part for us at the moment is the fact that he comes off. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he comes off 3 losses by knockout.
He's 4. Yeah, 4-1, I believe it is. 4-1 in the past 5 fights, from what I understand.
Yeah, and so that's, you know. But that being said, you know, again, the answer to that is I'll sit down with the team and discuss it and, you know, come up with an answer.
Okay, and I just had to get out of the way knowing the fact that, you know, we did that with Simpson and you also did that with Fitch and Czech Congo. You got to give credit where credit is due. The guy has been around for a while, and he has that veteran experience inside the cage.
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
And that knockout power. I mean, the guy's a great striker. Now, let's talk about the past show, and I want to get it clarified with you. Right before the show was going on, there was all this talk on social media. And, you know, you got to hate and you got to love social media because they take one thing and they blow it up, and then it seems like, the end is coming. But when you wait just a little bit, it's not true. So I remember right before the show that you guys were having some issues with the canvas and the show's not going to happen and so forth. What happened? How did you fix things? And how are you going to make sure this doesn't ever happen again?
Brother, I tell you, the first thing, how I came to find out that the show wasn't most likely not to happen was on Twitter. Some media outlet tweeted it and saying that we had issues, this, and that. I was like, what? So I had to, you know, make a few phone calls down to the staff downstairs, and everybody said, yeah, no, there are some issues, but it will be resolved by tomorrow. 100% the show is going to go on. It's going to go on. So all these people jumped on there and they were tweeting saying the show might not happen. And I keep repeating myself over, gentlemen, the show is going to happen. Trust me. And then, I had a guy who knew the commission personally, I believe, tweeted me saying, well, I just spoke to Nick, and he's saying that, you know, he's not even down there yet. And I said, listen, I don't know what your situation is with Nick or whatever, but all I know is that what my staff is telling me, and that's everything is it's that was required. It's been met. So by the time Nick is down there, everything's going to be approved because everything that was asked has been fixed. For example, we had to get another canvas that was 6 inches longer flown in, and that was done first thing that morning, and so on. So the pads are needed. Fortunately, we had a good friend of ours, of which is a fighting Rob, who runs a small show out there in Atlantic City. He had pads that was suitable for the needs of the commission out there. And so, I knew. That being said, when I first saw this on Twitter, I was stressed. I was like, what the? And so, but it was resolved. And myself and the team knew, whatever other things that the commission needed, was met. And so, we knew the show was going to happen. But until these people with social media, they like to jump on it so fast and so quickly. But like you say, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
Did you see that in any way affecting you as far as the television program? And I say this because it's of course it's not the same thing, but I believe it was last week on Twitter, the AP Twitter account got hacked, and they had said that the White House was under attack. And believe it or not, the New York Stock Exchange suffered because of that tweet. So, of course, you can't compare apples and oranges, but did you find that, that it affected you in one way or another when it came to the television program, or at least to the people that were coming to the show?
No, not at all, thank God. it didn't affect our door sales, and it didn't affect our TV portion because, the first showing that, the live, the peak at 362,000 viewers, I think, and when the replay right after that, and it totaled up to within that night alone was over 500,000 viewers. So for us, that was great. It didn't affect. Thank God that the fans believed that when I tweeted, "No, the show is going to happen."
That's very important. And you got to take the president's word. You can't believe some of these guys out here that are just tweeting their lives away. So June 14th, guys, the show, huh?
No, you're right. I mean, the people on the inside will have more information than anybody tweeting from across the world. You know what I mean?
Of course. And again, guys, I want to make a reminder that the big show is next month, June 14th, Las Vegas, Nevada, Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, and it's going to be airing on NBC Sports Network. I got to ask you also, the ratings were great for this past show that you had. And, in fact, they replayed it a couple of times. Is this the same case going to happen for this World Series of Fighting number 3? Is it going to be repeated several times?
That's correct. That is right. That will be repeated several times. NBC Sports Network is our partner, and they've done an amazing job getting behind us as well. Also, they got behind the idea of starting the World Series of Fighting Future Champions, which we started last Friday, which showcased our prelim guys, some of our prelim fights. It's a great partnership. NBC Sports Network is showing us nothing but love, and having a platform like that for our guys is truly amazing and exciting. But also, their premium guys get to be on that same platform, a few weeks later after the live event. So it's, you know, it's great, and we got nothing but love and respect for NBC Sports, and you know, we're very honored and proud to be part of their team.
That is great. So those programs that you were hearing, the whole that they were showcasing the future of MMA, are we going to see be seeing a lot more of that?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. After each show, we will. NBC has also told us that there's from that future, the versus the Fighting Future Champs, they will re-air those TV shows as well. And after every event, we will, you know, a week later or two, we'll also showcase our guys on the prelims. Three or four fights from the prelims that are exciting for the fans and for the fans who miss out on it. So, you know, we can't thank NBC Sports enough for all their input and also their support.
Lastly, I have to ask you, any merchandise, any T-shirts you guys will be selling via your website at WSOF.com?
Yes, we do have T-shirts for sale and posters and things like that from the last show. We will have those also, T-shirts for the next show coming June 14th at the Hard Rock here in Las Vegas. We will have T-shirts for that event sold on the night and, of course, later on the website at WSOFighting.com or WSOF.com.
Correct, WSOF.com, and you can find ticket information over there in Nevada. And again, the show is June 14th. It's going to be airing on NBC Sports Network. June 14th, the broadcast starts at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Ray, thank you so very much. Always a pleasure to have you, sir.
Thank you for having me, and I look forward to seeing you, talking to you again soon.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to The Roman Show. Again, make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show and like our fan page at facebook.com/RomanShowMedia. May 24th, the countdown begins, CFA 11, taking place at the Coral Gables, Florida, the Bank United Center. And you can watch the entire show live on Access TV. On the line, we have Robert Washington, who fights Luis Babun Palomino. Robert, thanks so much for joining us this evening here at The Roman Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, Robert, obviously, you're fighting Luis Babun Palomino. This is a guy who has been on Bellator, but the fact that you're fighting him in his hometown of Miami, where he has a lot of fans out there, have you prepared yourself mentally for that crowd? And in this, in any way, do you look at it as a positive or a negative towards you?
Well, I mean, I've fought in a lot of different hometowns before, different fighters' hometowns. So, I mean, it really, I mean, once I step in the cage, I know the crowd usually gets tuned out. So it really doesn't affect me any on the opposite end. You know, I go out there and I do what I'm supposed to do and stick to my game plan, and, you know, it doesn't affect me at all, you know.
Now, Robert, tell me about Luis Babun Palomino. This is a guy who, which ironically, both you guys, your last loss took place on the same date, January 19th. Boone lost, you lost. So this is definitely, for both of you guys, a chance to get back in the winning column. But have you taken a look at Palomino's fight game, and what can you tell me about him?
I mean, he's a crafty veteran. He's been around a lot. He's explosive. You know, he's good. I mean, I can't take nothing away from him. He's beat some good guys, and he's a good fighter. You know, you can't take that away from the fighter. You know, I watched him when I was beginning my MMA career. I watched him on Bellator. You know, I follow. I mean, it's probably not that many 55ers that I don't know in MMA. You know, this is my job, so I study my job, so I know fighters. So, you know, I watched him going, you know, as I was growing as a fighter, you know. I've only been fighting for about 4.5 years. But, yeah, I mean, he's definitely a tough opponent, a very formidable opponent, an opponent that I have to be well prepared for. So, yeah.
Knowing that you've studied him, anything in particular there that catches your attention that other fighters don't have?
Not nothing like that jumps out. I mean, he does a lot of things good, and you know, he got some holes in his game, just like everybody does. You know, I watched a little film on him, try not to overwhelm myself and try to look for stuff that's really not there, because I think that's what a lot of fighters sometimes do. You look at too much film and you start seeing stuff, you know. Because I mean, like some of his fights I look at, you know, I really don't know what the take from it, because the opponents he's fighting, you know, he's fighting tough dudes, so you can't say, well, his striking looks good and he's fighting a real good, his striking looks bad and he's fighting a real good striking, or his wrestling looks bad and he's fighting a great wrestler, you know what I'm saying? So I take what I can out of his fight game, and I look at it from there.
And knowing that this guy is a veteran, and you studied him, you've seen him, how many fights have you seen of him?
Man, I've seen probably two or three. I mean, I don't watch too many fights. You know, like I said, I've watched him. His name, he's a known name in MMA. You know, you heard the name Baboon. You know, I knew who he was. You know, so from Bellator, him fighting, you know, Pat Curran and stuff like that. So I knew his name. So I probably watched probably three or four fights of him. You know, he's just fought one of my old training partners, Buscape. I used to train. I trained with Buscape for about a year over at the Hit Squad. So, you know, I watched him, you know, going up. So I haven't watched that many fights on him.
But Buscape actually defeated him. It was his last defeat. We had I think it was a 4-fight winning streak. Now, about yourself, Robert, you yourself have been in the game. You fought a guy like Hermes Franca, who was a UFC veteran. And here you are, you're coming into the CFA. Tell me about coming into this promotion that's going to be airing for the first time on Access TV, and the experience that you expect.
Yeah, I mean, I fought on television before, so that's nothing new. I fought in front of 13,000 fans my last fight here in St. Louis. 13,000 fans. I mean, we saw it off the main event because they know I'm excited fighting a guy I was fighting excited fight. So there's no extra tension coming into this fight at all. You know, I thank CFA for giving me the opportunity to showcase my skills.
How did the fight happen? How did they reach out to you? Tell me the process. Explain to me exactly how it happened.
Well, it was Mike Benavi, when I fought for him before at one of his local shows, and he reached out to me and said, "Rob, you know, who's managing you?" And I told him, blah, blah. And he's like, "Are you interested in fighting, you know, this day?" And I said, "Who's the opponent?" And he told me the opponent, and I was like, "Well, yeah, I'll do it." You know, I was confident from the first, when he first told me the opponent, that it was a good fight for me. You know, I know this guy and stuff, and I'll be the first person to admit that if I'm not, if I feel like I'm not better than the guy, I'll straight up tell you, I'm not, that guy's better than me. But I honestly don't feel like, Palomino, no disrespect, is better than me. You know, I'm a fighter, so, you know, I train hard, and I'm way better than what I was, I mean, in any of my films, you know. I think my record is a little bit misleading. If anybody trained with me, they would tell you, you know, so, yeah.
A win over Luis Palomino, what would this mean to your MMA resume?
I mean, it's a win. You know, it's not going to get. I mean, I don't look at a win and try to look past what happens after the win. I go and I take it, you know, as a win. You know, he's a good opponent, so it's definitely going to look good on my resume, and it's going to be, you know, fighting CFA is going to look good on my resume. You know, whatever. But, you know, I'm just happy I got this opportunity. You know, I feel like this is my second time to shine. You know, the first time I lost a couple of split decisions in Canada, and then and at the same time I lost to, Hermes Franca. Those are televised fights, and those are big fights. And, you know, I fought in Tachi Palace, which is another big organization. And, you know, I just didn't take advantage of the opportunities. Now, you know, I'm mentally focused. I'm stronger. I'm faster than I've ever been. So I feel like I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity.
Now, do you have is it a one-fight contract, or do you have a multiple fight contract with CFA?
It's a three-fight deal with them. So.
Okay, so we'll be seeing a lot of you in CFA. Now, let us know a little bit about yourself, Robert. What inspired you to get into mixed martial arts, to get you into sport involved?
Well, I come from a rough part of town, in East St. Louis, Illinois. It's a predominantly black neighborhood, and it's pretty tough out there. So, you know, I know a lot of people say it. You know, everybody has a story to tell, but I did fight growing up every day. You know, it's not no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is what I did, you know. So, you know, I think that was one of the reasons. Also, I joined the military after high school, and I wrestled in high school, and I wrestled a little bit for the U.S. Navy. So that also, you know, when I was stationed overseas in Guam, I seen a couple of friends that was actually fighting, and I was like, man, I should try it out. So I decided to go and try it out. You know, got beat up my first day. I mean, I sparred the first day I ever trained. You know, my jaw was swollen shut, but I came back the next day. So I knew I had the heart. They knew I had the heart, and it just went from there. So I started my career, you know, overseas fighting in Taiwan, Guam, Saipan, Singapore. You know, and started my career like 8-0. So, you know, and then I decided, well, you know, I'm getting good at it. Let's take it a step further. So I actually, I got out the military, and at the time I had custody of my three boys. So I flew from Guam all the way to St. Louis with three boys, ages 3, 5, and 6, and chased my dream, you know, and I've been doing good. Wow. I've been doing good, you know. I mean, I feel like I'm a hard worker. I don't think nobody in MMA works as hard as me. I'm a full-time student. I work a full-time job, and I manage a full-time MMA career. So I don't think nobody in this game works hard as me inside the cage and outside the cage. So I pat myself on the back every day to, you know, to keep going and keep motivating myself to work even harder. So, yeah.
So you're a father of three, a student, an MMA fighter, and you work a job. Now that's, and how do you manage to do all those things all together?
I mean, it's hard. I mean, I can lie to you right now and tell you it's not, but it's hard. It's just, you gotta have, I think it's just motivation to reach the ultimate goal, motivation for success, you know. I'm a kind of person, I mean, I everything I do, I want to be successful at it. So I haven't reached my goal in MMA yet. So, you know, I'm going to keep fighting until I get my goal, you know, until I reach my ultimate goal. And wherever I end up at the end, hopefully I'm at my ultimate goal, but it's hard managing that schedule. You know, I just recently married again, so I do have a wife. She helps me out a lot right now. So, you know, she's a big supporter of it, but it's still hard. I don't get to come home and lay down. I get to come home and go to work, or I get to come home from training and go to school, or wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, train, then go to work, and then go to school, and then train again. You know, there's no time to rest. You know, I posted just recently on my Facebook page that I work so hard sometimes I don't even have time to smile. I got to make time to smile, literally, you know, to try to be nice to people because I'm always in the moment of doing stuff. So, yeah, you know, that's my life. And, you know, I try to spread the story just to motivate people who say they can't do it. There's no such thing as you can't. Because anybody that knows me knows I'm not lying about my story, and this is what I do. So, yeah.
And what is it that you're studying right now?
Criminal justice. I actually graduated May 19th from Lindenwood University. I have my degree in criminal justice. So, you know, I got a couple big things going on. I got a fight on the 24th, and I got a graduation on the 19th. So I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
So, is your plan going into the police academy or investigator? What do you plan to do with that degree?
You know, I'm focused on the job I got now. I work at a pretty good company right now, so I'm just focusing on my job. And you know, I just want to have a backup plan, and you know, I just want to give my kids some, you know, footsteps to follow. as for, you know, I think education is important. You know, I think the best fighters are the most educated fighters. You know, you look at GSP, you look at John Jones, and you hear the way these people speak. These guys are educated, you know. They're not stuttering. They know, you know, the sport, and they know outside the sport. They study the sport. It's a science. So, you know, yeah.
Wow, what a great story you have to share here, Robert. Now, if you can let one message to let those CFA fans that are going to be watching you on TV or that are going to be there live at the Bank United Center, what message will you relay to them?
Oh, man, just my fights are all exciting. So, you know, I come to entertain the fans. I come to entertain the fans, and the ultimate goal is to get the win. So, if you want to see an exciting fight, and I know Palomino is the same way. He comes to fight, you know. And so, if you want to see an exciting fight, you got to tune in. That's all I can say, because I know it's going to go down. I don't know when it's going to go down and how it's going to go down, but it's going to go down, you know. I don't know what's the, you know. That's all I can say is it's going to be an exciting fight. So, I hope everybody tuned in and, you know, stay tuned to it.
Well, Robert, thank you so much, man, for joining us here in the Roman Show. Really, truly appreciate it. And, you know, my hat off to you. You have a lot on your hands, but you're definitely doing it, and you're a perfect example of that. That, hey, you know, you can follow all of your dreams. You just got to fight through it. All right, Robert. Well, thank you so much, man. Good luck, and see you here in South Florida, May 24th on Access TV, or catch it live at the Bank United Center. Tickets already on sale at CFAFights.com. CFA 11. May 24th, Washington versus Palomino. Thanks so much, Rob.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Can't wait till I get you on the floor, good looking. Hey, going out so hot, just like an oven. And I'll burn myself, I just had to touch it. But it's so fine, and it's all mine. Hey, baby.
Back here on the Roman Show, I want to start off with some other news. UFC champion Ronda Rousey again lands on the cover of ESPN the magazine. That's a big deal. Ronda Rousey definitely putting the sport on the map. Chael Sonnen, like I said earlier today, is going to be staying at the 205 pounds. Damian Maia versus Koscheck is being targeted for UFC 163 in August. Some MMA fans are actually upset that Maya is getting cost. They say that Maya deserves a better competitor. What are your thoughts on that?
That's exactly how I felt. I'm a huge Damian Maya fan, and I felt that he should be in there against one of the guys that's also up there possible for a future title shot, such as a Jake Ellenberger or Roy McDonald type of person. You know, not Hendricks, because Hendricks can fight GSP, but, you know, maybe an Ellenberger, maybe a Roy McDonald. You know, maybe Condit. You know, I even said Condit at one point. So some guy on that level of competition. So I was very disappointed for him to get Koscheck, because beating Koscheck, yeah, it's a good win, but it's not the type of win that's going to get you all the way to the top of the division. You know, so, yeah, that fight doesn't do him any favors, especially with Ellenberger's fighting Rory McDonald right now. You know, that's a much better fight to get yourself to the top of the division.
All right, moving forward now, talk some Bellator. Bellator said that they will be having their summer series starting in June. And, well, they're going to have their champion, Chandler, fight. Michael Chandler is going to be on that fight card. And Seth Petruzzelli is going to be fighting King Mo. So King Mo is coming back. And the show kicks off June 19th. This is the three-card summer series. Again, some of the fights that will be featured as a four-man light heavyweight tournament pitting Chemo versus Seth Petruzzelli, Renato Sobral versus Jacob Noe. Those are just some of the fights. And Michael Chandler will be a part of that summer series against Dave Jansen, who was a recent winner of a tournament. One thing is for sure, Guillermo, the talks between Bellator and Eddie Alvarez, it seems like it's going nowhere. I think I see Eddie Alvarez finally going into the UFC. The question is, with that layoff, how is it affecting him?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's a shame because, you know, fighters only in their prime so long, and they only have such a long career to make as much money as they can in this sport before they have to go find something else to do. And he's just getting valuable time wasted right now with all the court proceedings and all that. So it's a shame for him. And then you mentioned a good point. What kind of rust will he have? And, you know, if he had come straight into the UFC right after his Bellator contract was up, he would have, you know, been in good shape and not had any ring rust, and he would have been able to make an immediate impact in the UFC, maybe even get an immediate title shot and then make the big bucks with the pay-per-view buys. But now he's going to be gone for a long time. He's probably not going to get an immediate title shot. He'll probably have to do a warm-up fight. And what about if that long layoff cost him that fight? Now he's no longer going to be a top contender. He's not going to be making those pay-per-view bucks. Maybe he loses two in a row and he gets cut by the UFC, and now he's really stuck. So this is very, very bad news for Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah, very bad news indeed for Eddie Alvarez with that information. But pretty much that's what's going on in some of the quick things in the world of mixed martial arts. Lastly, before we go, I want to touch on the subject of the poking in the eye. The UFC is really considering this and is going to present it to some of the commissions because it's dangerous. We saw it in this pay-per-view, although it was a pay-per-view at first. The poke in the eye, you had John Jones who had the broken foot. He didn't even realize the whole damn thing. What are your thoughts on the poke in the eye? Joe Rogan was stating that perhaps they could come up with some protection on the nail of these gloves. You think that's appropriate? You think some of the fighters would support such a change?
Well, it's not really up to the fighters. It's up to the promoters and the athletic commissions because they're the ones who are ultimately responsible for the safety of the fighters. Fighters will say, you know, screw safety. I'm here to win, you know, but obviously they're not the ones who are liable here. The promotions and the sport of MMA is actually the one at risk of going away if too many of these freak injuries occur. Now, you know, I agree with some of the people were saying that, you know, getting like full fingered, you know, gloves is not the way to go. It's not the gloves that are the problem. It's these habits that these fighters have of pointing their fingers out and pawing outward with it. You know, they got to do stricter point deductions and disqualifications and things like that to get fighters to stop doing things like that. Maybe even a percentage of their purse is deducted or something like that. But they also got to do the whole 5 minute thing. You know, with getting hit in the groin, you get 5 minutes break. But with getting poked in the eye, apparently you don't get 5 minutes. You know, the referees buy some time by getting the doctor to come in and check you out. But you really don't get 5 minutes. They should get 5 minutes for those sort of situations. So they got to get that fixed for sure. The other rule that I don't like, and you might have seen it, is the 12-6 elbow rule. You know, we've seen a couple of disqualifications because of that. John Jones' only defeat of his career was because of a 12-6 elbow on Matt Hamill. It's a ridiculous rule. You can allow any elbow except for this one little specific elbow. It's absolutely absurd. So these are just a couple of the rules that they really got to look at and revise. They got a lot to look at. These rules were created a long time ago while the sport was still forming, and we didn't have all the information that we've had now from thousands of fights. So it's time to take a look at some of those rules and make some changes.
Yeah, well, let's see if that happens. With that being said, guys, make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show. Like our fan page at facebook.com/Roman Show Media. And we have lots to talk about next week as we welcome some more great guests here in The Roman Show. I also want to give a special shout out and a special thank you to Full Contact Fighter for allowing to air The Roman Show on their website. So that's Full Contact Fighter. Thank you so much for picking up our show. Really appreciate it. It's a different webpage a front page with lots of news, information, up to date. In fact, they were the first original MMA media. It goes way back to 1997. So they call themselves the original MMA media. So they've been around for ages. They, in fact, I was talking to the owner. He was stating that they would pass around little brochures or newspapers, and he used to pass it around in the New York area back then, and then it carried over onto the web. So Full Contact Fighter, which is also a clothing attire, a clothing line as well. Back in 1997, that's when it was first produced. So thanks so much for picking us up. Really appreciate it. Check out FullContactFighter.com. That's FCFighter.com, where you can listen to the Roman Show right there on the site. You can listen to it on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and Blog Talk Radio, and of course, RodolphoRoman.com. With that said, thanks so very much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week right here on the Roman Show. Good night.